Welcome to Line Upon Line, a new series from Cloud Sin Radio where we dive into the scriptures line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. What is Yah telling us to do? How does this relate to our daily lives? We'll try to find out as best as we can in Line Upon Line. So what better place to start with Line Upon Line than the most famous set of commandments that's spoken about in all the earth, but to much discussion, the Ten Commandments. Here we have Moses, who has led the Israelites out of Egypt by the power of Yah, and he is telling the people the laws that Yah wants them to live by. We're going to dive into Exodus chapter 20, line upon line, to try to get a full understanding of what Yah was telling the people of Israel and how that relates to us today. Exodus chapter 20 starts off and says, "And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah, your Elohim, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohim before me." So here we have the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other Elohim before me. So what does that mean? Let's jump into the Hebrew to get a true understanding of what he could be talking about. So the word Elohim is Strong's word H430. And it means a variety of things. It could mean rulers, judges, divine ones, angels, gods, or someone who is like a god. So he's saying, you shall have no other mighty ones or mighty people, judges, rulers, anyone else above you. So this doesn't specifically mean that he's just keeping it strictly to divine beings. This could be people on earth who are rulers, judges, people who have power over you. So even people like your parents, even people like your boss, anyone who has any power in this world could be considered an Elohim based on the definition that we have in Strong's word H430. But now on to the next commandment. It says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them." Okay, to understand what he means by graven image, again, we have to go back to the Hebrew. This is the language that these commandments were written in. This is the best way that we can get understanding when going line upon line. So Strong's word H6459 is pesel, pesel. And it means an idol or an image, right? You shall not have any graven image. Right? You should not have any carved image or any carved idol. This could also apply to a drawing. This could also apply to a painting. The idea is something that you are creating, that you are bowing down to. If you all are familiar with the Catholic Church, the Christian Church, you see many, many, many idols and graven images that we are commanded to bow down to in reverence. This could be statues of someone who they claim is the Messiah. This could be stained glass windows that are littered all throughout a church. This could also be a very large cross that is in the front of a church or outside of a church. These are all graven images. They were created with man's hands. And this is what Yah was trying to keep us from, because anything that we create with our hands is tainted. That is not Yah. Yah is invisible. Yah is in the heavens. So any image we create here, any idol that we create here, a cross, a stone, anything. So if you have any crosses in your house, if you're wearing a cross around your neck, even though you may not be bowing down to it physically, you can still be bowing down to it spiritually if to you it's too hard for you to take that cross and throw it in the trash, right? We've been taught that that cross has a certain meaning according to scripture, but that is directly against the second commandment of not having any graven image and bowing down to it and serving it. So if you're someone who thinks that you serve the cross, you serve the statues that you see, if you reverence those statues, you are in violation of that second commandment, right? It says, "For I, Yahuwah your Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Right? That word hate is opposite of the word love. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 tells us that loving Yah is keeping his commandments. So simply, he's saying he will visit your iniquity on your third and fourth generations if you choose not to keep his commandments. So making sure that you're not worshiping these graven images is essential to showing that you love Yah and that you're setting yourself apart. So we know that Yah is a jealous Elohim, and he visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the third and fourth generation of those that do not keep his commandments. But he says he shows mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. Right? So we read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Right? This is in what people call the New Testament. More accurately, it's the Messianic writings. They are writing about the Messiah. Right, but they are referencing the Torah in their writings. They knew that loving Yah was keeping his commandments. And we see this in Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, we jump to the third commandment. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of Yah, your Elohim, in vain, for Yah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain." All right, in the King James Version, in many of the versions we see today, they don't even put his name in the scriptures. They replace it with false titles, right? So that is one instance of taking his name in vain. But to really understand that, again, we have to jump back to the Hebrew. In Strong's word H7723, we have the word shav, right? That is the word for in vain. And that could mean emptiness, vanity, falsehood, worthlessness, lying, lies. So that means if you lie on the name of Yah, or if you say that it is empty, if you say that it is worthless, if you say that it's something that it's not, you are taking his name in vain. So a question I have for you is, when you are listening to other pastors, hopefully you're not listening to a lot of these false pastors anymore, but let's say you still are, why are they not using the name of Yah? And if they're not using the name of Yah, or saying that they don't have to say it and that you don't have to say it, are they or are they not breaking the third commandment of taking his name in vain? That means lying on his name, saying that it is empty, saying that it is nothing, saying that it is worthless. Right? And again, this scripture gets mistranslated in the name that they think is the Messiah's name. They say you should not take his name in vain, even though that name that they're using, you all know what name I'm talking about. It starts with a J. It is not the name of Yah. This scripture in Exodus says, thou shalt not take the name of Yah, your Elohim, in vain. So remember, if people are not saying Yah, if you're not saying Yah, if you think that it's not important to say Yah's name, you should really reassess and go back to these commandments to see, are you in line with Yah's Torah? And who told you that it was okay not to say the name of Yah? All right, question that. Next, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, we read, remember the Sabbath day to keep it set apart. All right, that set apart or holy, that word is also Kadesh. Kadesh means to be pure, to be set apart, right? To be separate. And we're supposed to remember the Sabbath day, right? Again, many people keep the Sabbath from evening to evening. They'll keep it from Friday evening to Saturday evening, but there's not any instances in scripture where we see a day starting from the previous night. There's simply not. And when we go into these words, which I don't have all of this information all together right now for you to present, because it's really a topic of its own that we'll touch on in a later series, in a later episode of this series. But remember the Sabbath day. Specifically, he's talking about the day of the Sabbath, the light hours of the Sabbath. Right? This was a day of rest. And then he goes into more in verse 9. He says, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah your Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any works, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. So he's commanding that everyone rest. This is your children. This is the people that work for you. Everyone should be resting on this day, whether they are a native-born Israelite or they are a stranger. And we see in Isaiah 56 that even the strangers that who do not pollute his Sabbath will be able to make it to that holy hill, to that holy mountain, and make it to the kingdom. All right. But again, he says 6 days shall thou labor. We have to think about the times. People were not laboring at night. People labored during the day. Right now, we have street lights. We have electricity where we keep the lights on at night. People did their work during the day. So specifically, he was instructing people to rest during the day of the seventh day. Right? The day of the Sabbath. It was a day during the daylight hours where you would rest. And then he tells us why in verse 11. Because in 6 days, Yah made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, Yah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He set it apart. So Yah rested on the seventh day. It's a memorial to Yah. It's remembering what Yah did and us taking part after what he does, right? Because we want to be as close to Yah as possible, which is why he gave us these commandments to show us how to be more like him. We know that Yahushua, the Messiah, was without sin, right? That means he did not break any commandments. 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. So if in the Messiah was no sin, that means he did not break any commandments. We know that in Matthew chapter 5 verse 48, he says, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, right? We want to be complete just like Yah. And that's what these commandments have us do. Be more like Yah, right? Now we touch on the Sabbath, right? That's the first four commandments right there. And they're all about serving Yah and being like Yah. And these next six commandments are about how we deal with our neighbor, right? Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long upon the land which Yah your Elohim gives you. Right? That word honor could also be respect. We want to show respect to our parents. We want to show respect to our caregivers, right? This doesn't mean that you serve them above Yah, because we have to remember the first commandment is thou shalt have no other Elohim before me. So if your parents tell you to do something that's against the Torah of Yah and you do it, then you are transgressing the first commandment because you have another mighty one or another powerful one ahead of you. This goes for your wife. This goes for your husband. This goes for your children. This goes for your grandmother. If you trying to honor them or respect them causes you to transgress the law of Yah, then you are transgressing the first commandment of not having other Elohim before him. So the next commandment, we're at number 6 now. Thou shalt not kill, right? Thou shalt not murder, right? This is talking about intentional murder of someone else, right? But we also read in the Messianic scriptures that even looking at your brother with the evil eye and being angry with your brother is just as bad as murder, right? But the question is why? The reason why is because when you start to look at your brother with that evil eye, you start to look at him with envy and those negative emotions, it ends up like Cain and Abel, right? It's that jealousy that results in something that could lead up to a murder. It leads up to violence, right? So anger is the first step of leading to that murder, that killing. So when we see that the Messiah was talking about being angry at your brother without cause is just like being a murderer, right? Looking at your brother with the evil eye, it's like murder, right? It's because those type of things lead up to murder. In verse 14, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, right? This is talking about being with your husband or your wife and being true to them. However, this is also talking about spiritually being devoted to Yah, because we know there was a lot of spiritual fornication going on during the times of the kings of Israel, right? They served many other gods. They were sacrificing to other gods, and Yah saw that as adultery, right? He saw that as spiritual fornication. So this is also telling us to be true to Yah. Right, they talk about how Yahushua loved the assembly, right? He loved the assembly of the people like a wife, right? Like a bride. Right? He's true to his people. So for us, we have to be true to Yah. We have to be true and devoted, right? And not commit this spiritual adultery with these other gods, right? This all goes back to even that first commandment is not having other gods before Yah. But even if they're not before Yah, don't even serve these other gods in general, which is encompassed in thou shalt not commit adultery, the physical adultery and the spiritual adultery. He says, thou shalt not steal. That's simple. You know, not taking things that are not yours. That's verse 15. Now in verse 16, it says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Right, for those of y'all who are familiar with just the crucifixion of the Messiah, of Yahushua, they bore false witness against him and said that he did things that he didn't actually do. The entire time, the Pharisees and Sadducees were trying to trip him up to get him to say something against the Torah of Yah. However, they were not able to, right? Because he was the Word made flesh. He cannot go against himself, right? So they had to bear false witness against him in order for him to be convicted, right? He did nothing wrong. Right? They just had a lack of understanding. So for us, it's very simple. Not bearing false witness against our brother. Also against ourselves. Right? Making sure that we're bringing a true report of whatever it is that we're doing and whatever it is that's happened. And again, we all have things that we need to work on. But just thinking about ways to eliminate all of this from our being. Right? Then we have the last one, verse 17. It says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass or donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Right? That word covet, people typically look at it in a very carnal sense. They look at it like lusting over a person. But this is even seeing someone's house and saying, I want that house. This is seeing someone's car and saying, I want that car. This is seeing what someone else has and saying, you want that compared to what you have. What that shows Yah is that you're not grateful for what he's giving you, right? When you're seeing something someone else has and you say, you want that, you want this, you want that, you're getting tripped up and thinking about, just because they may have something doesn't mean that spiritually that's where they should be, right? And that comes back to envying the oppressor, envying the enemy, envying the wicked one, because they're going to have things physically that we don't have. But just because you don't have things physically, house, car, even the wife and children that someone else may have, you really don't want to just desire what someone else has, but rather be thankful for what you do have and ask Yah to give you what you need, right? Because it tells us that Yah knows what we need before we even ask for it. So when we're desiring all these things, we're trying to circumvent Yah and get what we want, and that's not what he wants from us at all, right? And again, just to get a better understanding, Strong's word H2530 is kamad. Kamad, right? Which means to desire. It means to take pleasure in, to take delight in. So again, this world is very, you know, you might follow an account on Instagram that all it is big houses. It's big houses and flashy cars and rich people. But that's just a trap that they try to make you fall into. It's not about desiring those things. This world, you should not be desiring money. You should not be desiring the cars. It's so vain, right? So we have to make sure that we are not, you know, having kamad or lust or a desire, strong desire for things that are not ours, right? Because it leads us to sin. It leads us to kill. It leads us to commit adultery. It leads us to serve other gods, right? You see how that commandment ties to all the ones prior, right? Because just because you want something that they have, you might bear false witness to get something that they have. You might steal to get something that they have. You might commit adultery to be with the person they're with. You might kill someone to get them out the way, right? And it's not that, you know, I'm saying you would do this, but that's the things that lead people to do these type of things. So you don't even want to have a little bit of that in your life, because Yah commanded us not to. Why? Because he really knows what's best for us. All right, so that's the 10 commandments that we read about in Exodus chapter 20. All right, but many people would say that, you know, it's done away with. All right, people would say that we don't have to keep some of the commandments. All right, well, first, let's go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. All right, it says, I am Yah, I do not change. All right, I am Yah, I do not change. All right, it's simple and plain. Yah does not change. Yah is not double-minded. He's not going to give commandments, tell us to keep them, and then change his mind. That's something that a carnal person would do, right? And I'm not even going to have to bring up too many more. I'm not going to bring up any more scriptures when it comes to trying to say that Yah doesn't change, because you all can go into your own scriptures in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, and see, for I am Yah, I do not change. So if anyone says that he changed, then they are a liar and the truth is not in them. All right, that's just simple. I think it's Romans chapter 3, verse 4 that says, let every man be a liar and let Yah be true. So if anyone tells you that Yah has changed, or they say that we don't have to keep some of these commandments, including the Shabbat, including, you know, it's okay to worship a cross. It's okay to not say his name, right? They're lying, right? And that's the things that he was warning us about, right? Or they might refer to Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Right. He was asked, Yehoshua was asked, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Remember, I told you they were trying to trip him up. They were trying to trip him up because they wanted him to speak against the law so that they could have him crucified or killed. Right. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to throw him in prison. So they wanted him to say something wrong so they could say that he was blaspheming the commandments. But let's see what Yehoshua said. In verse 37 of Matthew 22, he said, Thou shalt love Yahuwah your Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Right? We know Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. It says, Thou shalt have no other Elohim before me. Yehoshua was simply quoting that commandment, but he actually went into more detail by saying, love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Right? We know that loving Yah is keeping his commandments. 1 John chapter 5 verse 3, and also we see that in Exodus chapter 20 verse 6. Right? It's very, very substantiated, all these explanations, because they consistently say it. They consistently refer to the same thing. Right, and then in Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, it says the second is like unto it, right? The second one is similar, right? So they're probably licking their lips right now, thinking they're about to catch him up, saying that the other commandments are not important. But he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law, or all the Torah and the prophets. All right, remember, when we were going to Exodus chapter 20, we said those first four commandments, you know, no other Elohim before Yah, no graven images, not taking his name in vain, the Sabbath day. Those are all about loving Yah. How do we serve Yah better? And the next six are how we deal with our neighbor. So what Yehoshua did was make two categories out of those first 10 commandments, those main 10 commandments. And he actually summarized those down into two commandments. So for some people, they think we don't have to keep the commandments in the Torah because he says we only have to keep two of them. But understanding this, he says on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That doesn't mean the law and the prophets are done away with. That means that they are based, right? There's two subheadings. The two subheadings are loving Yah with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind, and loving your neighbor like yourself. Every other commandment, ordinance, statute are in those two subheadings, right? So understanding that, knowing that Yah doesn't change, these 10 commandments are still the basis for how we're supposed to live our lives. And again, they can be summed up into even two commandments, but that doesn't mean that anything in this Torah doesn't stand true, right? So I urge you to go in your scriptures and look and see what you find when it comes to these 10 commandments, when it comes to looking at the Hebrew words, you know, what these words actually mean, and think, why are the modern Christian churches, Catholic churches, preaching against a lot of this stuff, right? They're not saying Yah's name. They're not keeping the Sabbath day holy. They're worshiping graven images. They have other Elohim before him, right? They're serving statues. They're serving other doctrines. They're serving their pastors, right? They're bearing false witness against each other. They're coveting their neighbors. They're coveting this church and that church, right? They're not honoring their mother and their father. Why in the churches are we seeing all these commandments being broken, right? In question, is this establishment of this church system, right, this religion, is this not directly going against Yah, right? They're telling you not to say his name. They're telling you you don't have to keep the Sabbath day. They're telling you to worship the cross, right? They're saying that his name is another name. You see what I'm saying? So really think on that, question that, and just observe in your daily life. Look at the people around you. Look at the things that you're watching. Are they keeping these commandments? And a bigger question is, are you keeping these commandments? All right? Are you keeping these commandments? This is what it was commanded of all of us, right? And what I'll end off with is in Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, it says, "Blessed are they who keep Yah's commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life." That they may have right to the tree of life. Some people would say, well, it doesn't say keep Yah's commandments. It says, "Blessed are they that keep his commandments." Okay, let's say it's talking about Yahushua. We just read in Matthew chapter 22 that the two commandments that he gave are based on the 10 commandments that Yah gave. So either way, there's no getting around this. Keeping the commandments of Yah is the way that we enter in. Right? That's the way that we make it to this eternal life. All right? That's our whole entire duty. If we look in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, it says, "For this is the whole duty of man," right? To keep the commandments. That's what we're supposed to do. So moving forward, think, how can you adjust your life, change your life dramatically, or modify it just a little bit to make sure that you're in line with these commandments, that you're saying his name, that you're keeping his Sabbath, that you're making sure there's no other Elohim before him, that you're loving your neighbor like yourself, all right? So think on that. All right, that's all I got for our first episode of Line Upon Line. We went over the Ten Commandments. We really went into the basic Hebrew. We try to understand how that applies to our daily lives. And, you know, we examined how some groups, some religious organizations, just religions in general, are against Yah, right? They hate Yah. They don't want to keep his commandments. And the question is, do you hate or do you love Yah? If you love Yah, you'll keep his commandments that never change. If you hate Yah, you will not keep his commandments that never change. Either way, you and I both and everyone else is going to be judged by the Torah, right? We're going to be judged by the Torah. That, I mean, if Yah didn't judge us by our own, by his own law, right? If Yahushua didn't judge us by the law that he kept, that would be unjust, right? I think all of us can agree that Yah and Yahushua, there's nothing unjust about them, right? Yah is good. You know what I'm saying? Yahushua said it. Yah is the only one that's good. So for us, how do we try to even just serve him, you know, as best we can? And the answer to that is, let's keep his commandments. So I'll see y'all next week for another episode of Line Upon Line. Adios. Shalom.